How bad were things? Like, what were some of the events and incidents that happened?
It was a lot of aggression. So things like punching walls, throwing the tables up. It felt like a really toxic, unhealthy, and just like not a safe environment. Everywhere I turned, I wasn't being heard and like I wasn't being seen or like respected, basically.
So you learnt to be hyper-attuned to him, because if you could predict and understand his mood, then you could keep yourself emotionally safe.
Hey Alex, I'm Hannah. It's nice to meet you. This is my submission for your new crazy idea. I've had ME for 5 years. I'm 26 and I got it when I was 21. The past few years I've been living at home and it's been quite a difficult experience. I felt quite a little unsafe and I've experienced a lot of fight and flight and anxiety. Recently I've been working with an EFT practitioner for the past year, and also my circumstances have changed at home in the last few months, and that's meant that those things combined mean that right now I feel really calm and much less anxious than I have been, and I feel safe and ready to really, I feel like I'm happy to talk about these things now, when I couldn't have, I would have been, wouldn't have been able to before, you know. I've also recently come out as gay, which has been a bit of a journey for me. And the reason I'm mentioning all this is because although this is quite good progress, you know, in terms of my happiness, it's not had an impact on that, or at least that I can see yet, on my physical health. And physically, I feel so stuck and confused, and I know I just need advice. I really need some direction. And I also think I need to challenge my belief systems, because during this 5-year span, I've not been able to get out, kind of get my health to a level, the level that it was at when I was diagnosed. I'm still worse than when I was diagnosed, and I know that's tested my kind of optimism or my patience, and I'm really willing to have that belief challenged and work on that, because I think it would really help. But it's something I find really hard to do as an individual on my own, and having that support in this way of your idea would be so good. And it'd be so good. I think the psychology is part of my puzzle piece. I just don't know how to bring it all together. Maybe hear from you soon. Bye.
Welcome to this week's episode of In Therapy with me, Alex Howard. And today we're going to meet a new participant. We're going to meet Hannah. And in this week's episode, we're going to be exploring some of the challenges and difficulties of being on a healing journey in an environment which is not conducive to that. And as Hannah will talk about, there were some quite challenging things in her home environment in recent time. We're going to get into some of the ways that that's impacted upon recovery, some of the ways that she's learned to navigate and manage that. So we'll then have the second part of Hannah's first session next week, and you'll then see us going a bit deeper in some of the ways to work with this and to support calming her system and reconnecting with herself emotionally. So here is Hannah.
It's like she's not going to be in. I'll leave her a message.
Hello, I'm sorry, but the person you've called is not available. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hannah, hi, it's Alex Howard here. And firstly, thank you so much for sending in your video application to be part of the filmed sessions. Wow, what a journey you've been on to this point, and what amazing work you've done to make the progress that you've made. So so well done. And yeah, I think there's more that we can do together. I'd love to have the opportunity to film some sessions with you. I'm excited to see what we can do together. The team will be in touch to arrange a time, and I really look forward to meeting you then. Thanks, Hannah. Bye.
The symptoms came on over a period of about 5 days, really kind of really super intense. But looking back, I can see that there were signs earlier on that something wasn't right and that I was getting very tired. I think maybe one of the main triggers might have been an infection I got when I was in Tanzania. It was like quite bad food poisoning and I had a lot of antibiotics and it didn't go away for a while. And then later on, my grandma died about 6 weeks before I felt the real intense symptoms. So maybe that might have been a second trigger as well. I'm at a place now where I can like make all my meals. I can like wash every other day, or sometimes every day. I'm kind of getting out of the house to like socialize. I can do that about once or sometimes twice a week, just depending like what's been going on, where how I'm feeling. I was at uni when I got unwell, so I had to leave uni. So it kind of shook life up in those kind of big areas. Now I say things have improved a bit and it's probably more like trying not to be affected by social pressures of not working and just that kind of living a very different life for someone of my age.
I suppose my worry is her future, her financial future as well as anything else, because I'm 66 and I worry about what would happen if anything happened to me. But more than the finances, I suppose I just want her to be happy, to be able to go out and maintain, find somebody, have a nice relationship, you know, all the normal things that everyone wants. And I worry about because she hasn't got those at the moment.
My name's Hannah, I've got an appointment with Alex.
Yeah, just 1 second, please.
Hi, Hannah.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Well, this is my very strange world.
Yeah, it is. So many chairs.
Many chairs. And slightly odd, being followed around by cameras.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, thank you very much for making the journey down from Bristol. I know it's a bit of a journey, particularly when you're limited in capacity. Talk to me a little bit about, you referenced in your video and also in your clinical questionnaire around some of the stresses that have been happened. Mm. It sounds like it's not the case so much now, but there was a period when you were at your kind of worst, there was quite a lot of stress in the home environment. Yeah. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I've just felt a lot of constant like anxiety at home and like flight and fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. yeah, so I guess I felt anxiety because there's been quite a bit of aggression at home since I moved back from university, like after I got unwell. Things kind of seem to get worse in like my relationship with my dad and his kind of behavior towards my mum. Mm. And it was it felt like a really toxic, unhealthy, and just like not a safe environment. And it meant I was always on alert, even when I was definitely in like stage one at that time. And I know that it was just like, it felt like constant emotional stress and like being drained in that sense. I guess it kind of felt, it made it really hard to get through the day, like mentally, just because of what was going on. I think I felt quite overwhelmed. And I know that it affected like my confidence in a huge way. And it made me feel really quite, well, that's not the right way to say it, but like I felt really worthless. It kind of coincided with difficulties with doctors as well, like being told to get a job and not, they wouldn't write me sick notes, and it felt really quite, I felt quite alone. Like,
yes,
it felt like everywhere I turned, I wasn't being heard, and like, I wasn't being seen or like respected, basically. Yeah. Just, and I think that's taken quite a lot to process. And yes. although things are like calm now, and like my dad's moved out, and I love being at home now, which is so nice. It wasn't like that for a long time, and
so there was a lack of emotional safety in a sense.
Yeah, totally. And I guess, yeah, I lost my train of thought.
How bad were things? Like, what were some of the events and incidents that happened?
So there was never like violence directed to me. There was one occasion with violence towards my mum, and it was a lot of aggression. So things like punching walls, like throwing the tables up, and it would be over things like, we had a takeaway once, and me and my mum shared some Bombay potatoes, and that was like not okay. It was just things like very innocent, like what I thought were just harmless things would really trigger this whole thing. And I think he really knew how to, just knew my trigger points. So made me feel quite, I felt quite small around him. So it would just be a lot of like shouting up close and things like, there was just one time where he told me I was like, had no life and no friends and miserable, and just such aggression, just like so much aggression. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And he was home a lot as well. Was he working or he was
He was home a lot because he worked from home, but he also wasn't always working.
Right. And was it alcohol induced or drugs induced, or it was just that's how he was at that point?
It's how he's kind of always had like things like this. There's always been like, I've always felt like he's been very unpredictable. I've never known, like, it's confused me a lot. He confuses me. I'm very confused by it. The weird thing is he's actually a psychotherapist. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, I don't know. I know that he's probably really not happy, but he doesn't. I've tried to ask him about it and be kind of compassionate, but he kind of doesn't. He says he's very happy, and it's hard to get through to him in that sense.
Yeah.
He's all about keeping up appearances, I feel like. And
so how things look are more important than how they actually are, in a sense.
That's what it seems like. Because I guess it took me a long time to realise a few things. But generally, I was really happy as a kid. Mm. Yeah. I just, looking back now, I know that I think I was very attuned to other people's like feelings or needs, because I think I was trying to maybe work out what his were, because I just felt very confused by what, how to kind of, it was quite strict sometimes, but there was not always logic to it, or that I could see.
So that was an unpredictability.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Very unpredictable.
Yeah. So you learnt that the way to stay emotionally safe was to be hyper attuned to him, because if you could predict and understand his mood, then you could then respond accordingly, and then you could keep yourself emotionally safe.
That's what I feel might be the case.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, as kids, we often don't give ourselves or give other kids enough credit for actually how clever they are. And kids have to learn to stay emotionally comfortable and safe. And one of the ways that they do that is they sort of attune and figure out where their place is in the family, and also how to orient themselves emotionally towards parents and siblings and that sort of thing. And so it makes sense in the context of part of what you're working with now, that being around people that you don't feel familiar with and comfortable with, your nervous system has a relationship to that of, this may not be safe, and you kind of have to ramp up and you have to predict and you have to respond to. And that, of course, gets very tiring.
Yeah.
You know, totally. And it sounds as though, from my memory of your, just correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'll make sure that I understand it correctly, that your crash happened at university, and then you ended up, to the point that you couldn't sustain at university, you ended up moving back home, and then you were exposed to this dynamic with your parents. So it's not that this dynamic with your parents was the kind of trigger point. There were other things. You were already depleted and crashing, but then you sort of ended up in an environment that wasn't particularly conducive to being in a healing state and recovering.
Yeah, that's totally right. And when I moved back home, I was actually doing quite well for a few months.
Yeah.
And I built up walking to like 23 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
And then the achiever pattern got a little bit overexcited from what I, maybe, yeah, or
I
not.
So. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think so. And I think I remember overdoing it. And I think, yeah, it was definitely an achiever induced.
Yeah.
And
but
then
also, if you didn't know what you know now as well, I think if you knew what you know now, you would have gone more gently. It's almost like we have to learn that sometimes the painfully hard way.
Yeah, I remember being really desperate. Like, it was real desperation to get back to uni and to... And also, I think... I guess there was the crash. So I crashed through those means, and then things were gradually getting worse and picking up at home. So, and then I think I really do feel that had an impact on where I went from there, how I was able to...
I think that makes sense. Mm. And I think also, given that at that period, it sounds like the migraines were a big part of the picture. And also, you know, migraines are often stress-induced, but then they become very stressful to experience. So it's almost like, I think what often happens with migraines is it's sort of like a threshold. And if your stress stays below that threshold, you're sort of okay. But then if you cross the threshold, you trigger a migraine. But then that ramps everything up a whole other level. So then it becomes quite hard to keep things below that threshold. One of the things that you said in your video was that you've also been exploring your sexuality recently as well. And it sounds like that's, I'm guessing, quite exciting, but I'm guessing also has a level of kind of, well, how do I then, I'm in the world and figuring that out and starting to get to the point where you're coming out into the world a bit more in terms of capacity. So just, talk to me about that whole piece.
Yeah, I guess it's something that feels good. Like, it feels like a real positive thing. I think I had quite a bit to work on in relation to that with I had a boyfriend, I was in like a relationship from when I was really young, and I guess things weren't black and white in my mind. It didn't feel like this whole lie, or I felt happy, genuinely.
Yes.
Like it was what I wanted, and I don't regret that, you know, but I did have a lot of shame and guilt about ending that relationship. And it ended for a number of reasons, but obviously sexuality was one of them. And I felt, a lot of shame and guilt. And that's where EFT has really helped with that. And I feel like I've let go of that. But moving forward, I guess it's like unknown territory. And it's definitely super like out of my comfort zone anyway. So it kind of makes it double that.
Sure.
With how my nervous system is.
How long ago did that relationship end?
A year and a half ago.
Okay. So that sustained through some of that really severe period in terms of your health?
It did actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you been out on dates yet? Like, where are you in the... So talk about where you are and how that's been. And
it's been okay. I started dating, like online dating, about August. And... in a way, it's kind of actually helped. Like, I felt a lot of anxiety around like dating with a chronic illness and how to even bring that up. And even though I'm not actually looking for a relationship right now, like a committed kind of thing, it still felt like a really big deal. But over dates, I kind of feel like it's actually helped. It's kind of practice, and it's kind of like made me feel like more relaxed about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's something good that's come out of it. Recently. So I've been on like 3 dates with someone. It's going well. But my system is just totally like, first date's always fine. You know, there's no pressure. I'm never like really nervous. But then after that, it's when it's quite new to me. So
when it feels like there's possibly something at stake, or you feel that there's some kind of chemistry that's there, then it becomes more difficult.
Yeah, that's where my body like won't chill.
Yeah. So...
probably pretty normal for anyone, but just...
Yeah, well, I think it adds a level of complexity, I guess, or intensity maybe is a better word. That it's like, I think most people will feel a bit nervous and a bit unsure. Yeah. Some people are super nervous on the first date, and other people are super nervous as things progress in a kind of in intimacy. Yeah. But then if you've got a physical consequence... to kind of stress, then that puts kind of more stakes on it, because it's like, rather than going out and being a little bit excited but a little bit kind of unsure, and that just being kind of like a fun evening, then if you're spending a couple of days recovering from that, that kind of becomes frustrating.
Yeah.
So let me actually back up a minute. Let me kind of summarise a little bit where I think we are. So my sense is that you're doing a lot of things already really well. Okay. And hopefully, do you acknowledge that in yourself? Like how hard you've worked to get to the point you're at?
I think I have worked hard. I think, there's been a lot of progress, like emotionally wise, than the last year or so.
Yeah. And I think that it's, people sometimes can underestimate, particularly people who've got achiever patterns, it's like they don't give themselves credit for how hard they've worked. And I think the work that you've done around pacing, the work that you've done around calming your system, particularly when you're kind of by yourself, the work you've done on self-awareness of understanding this and kind of making sense of it, the work you've done around your kind of self-identity and self-worth around kind of relationships and sexuality, there's a lot of really, really good work that's been done here. It's a lot. So well done. When we have a parent who is unpredictable and at times scary and frightening in their behaviour, we learn that that's sort of how the world is.
As we're talking about it, I feel really shaky right now.
Would it be possible to just let the feelings be there?
I feel like emotional.
Does it feel okay?
It's just a little bit uncomfortable.
What it feels to me like is the next piece is your system learning to feel safe in more places, and that really comes down to your relationship with your feelings and emotion.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I think we're all obviously different in our circumstances, and yet I think probably many people can resonate with some of the challenges of being in an environment which is not always conducive and supportive to the healing journey. And it's possible to recover sometimes even in challenging environments, but the more that we can set up an environment and a situation that supports healing, that can really help make a difference. So in next week's episode, you'll see the second half of this first session with Hannah. And obviously we'll continue then to follow Hannah's journey over the kind of the subsequent months. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please do a few things. Please like this video. Please do also comment and share about how perhaps this resonated with you, how it impacted you. I read and respond to all the comments, so it'd be great to hear your thoughts and your experience. Please do also subscribe to my channel here on YouTube. And if you want to get notifications, click the notification bell. And then each time you release an episode, YouTube will let you know. Apart from meaning that you'll be kind of more in the loop, these things also tell YouTube this is good content. This is content worth sharing. And that really helps more people see these episodes. And the reason why Oliver and I are doing this is we're deeply passionate about this idea that we all struggle, we all have challenges, and these participants are so brave in sharing their stories, and we're really keen for as many people as possible to join us as these stories unfold. So thanks for watching. There'll be another live episode of Everyday Alex tomorrow at 6 p.m. UK time. I look forward to talking with you then.